Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I got my co-host, Clint McPherson, on the show today. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Just glad to be here, like always, and ready to kick this thing off. We got a very special guest on the show today. She has a motivational podcast, and she's been doing it actually before podcasting was really a thing. She has an incredible outlook on life, and she's always a pleasure to talk with about business and personal growth. She's an awesome individual. But before I introduce our special guest today, I want to remind you to subscribe to our podcast and to our mailing list through our website so you don't miss out on all the free resources that we have to help you start and grow your business. Also, the absolute best way to show your support is to share our show with your friends and family. If you know someone who wants to learn about starting or growing a business, we'd be honored if you shared that entrepreneur life with them. With that said, I'd like to welcome our special guest today, Patty Catter, to the show. How are you doing today?
Hi, Clint. I'm doing really good. I'm happy to be here. Excited to get going.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're stoked to have you on the show and can't wait to get into it.
Thank you.
So, Patty, it's been a minute. I don't know exactly the year and date, but it was PodFest, I think 2020, if I remember that correctly. So can you take us back to when your entrepreneurial journey started, because I know it started well before me and you met, and what it is about entrepreneurship that really gets you fired up and moving every day.
Yeah. So I'll go all the way back till I was about 4 years old, you guys, no joke.
All right. That's awesome.
My grandma, she taught me how to write the letters E and O when I was about four. And so every time I wanted to write, I would ask her if I could E-O. And I'd go over there and she would teach me how to play tic-tac-toe and I would write E-O's. I would ask a lot of questions like, Grandma, what did you do today? And I would just start quizzing her, right? And I'd start pretending like I was writing everything that she was saying down. So it kind of started there. And then around fifth grade or so, my friends and I on the playground, we would pretend like we were reporters and journalists. In 10th grade, I started writing for a newspaper in Flint, Michigan. The Flint Journal had a section for teenagers to write in, and it was called Word Up. So that was really, really the first real newspaper that I wrote in. And I figured out then that I could make change. I wrote an article about our lunches at school and how disgusting the pizza was and their hamburgers. And the next day after the article came out, the principal called me down to the office and I was afraid I was going to get in trouble. But they told me that they were actually changing the entire school menu. So that was really cool.
And you didn't even have to run for student government to make that happen.
No, I was actually sort of shy in high school. Like I had a lot of friends, but I didn't really put myself out there. I was just like, I was friends with everybody. But I didn't try to run for anything. I wasn't like any more important than anybody else in the school. So I just kind of through life, I guess I've just always tried to make differences. And I think that that comes into play with the entrepreneur side of things of me or for me, because I believe that I want to make a positive difference in the world. So whatever it is, whether in 10th grade writing in the Flint Journal, or I was a CEO and chief editor of a newspaper for teenagers later as an adult, I was always interested in helping other people get to where they needed to be. And so that's kind of how it started.
Love it.
That's really
adding
cool.
Value. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up getting married to a guy who was just getting out of the Marine Corps, after high school, of course, not much long after high school, though, let me tell you, before I could even be old enough to drink alcohol. So I met Ken when he was getting out of the Marines, and I didn't really understand the significance of his Marine Corps experience. You know, I just knew he's this guy with muscles, and he says he was recon and all this stuff. And I
shout out to my boy Ken. He's a great guy.
Yeah. So during the time where I met Ken and he had just gotten out of the Marines is when I was a chief editor for a newspaper for teenagers, and brought some kids together, and they started writing about different things going on in the community. It was called Positive Attitude, go figure. And I was also a police reservist in Saginaw, Michigan, and Ken was a police officer after he was out of the military, and he was an entrepreneur. He owned a very successful power washing business in Michigan. So I guess what happened is after 9/11, Ken had it on his heart to join the military again. And during that point, I was still in the police reserves. We had a good life. We had 30 acres, a nice huge house in Michigan. His job was set for life if he wanted it at the police department. But he really, really wanted to go back into the military because our recruiters were having a hard time recruiting after 9/11. It was 2005 at that point, and he wanted to go in, and it was driving me crazy watching him watch all these military channels and stuff on TV. Yeah. And I was like, if you want to do it, just do it, dude. Just do it.
Yeah.
So we ended up packing up, moved to Fort Bragg. And it was there that I had to try to figure out what I was going to do again, because I went from owning this newspaper for teenagers to our life was changing so rapidly and differently. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to do at that point. We had three kids and I wasn't sure. So he ended up, long story short, getting deployed to Iraq in 2006. And during that time, I started a support group for military spouses, and a couple of them had moved away. So I was trying to figure out how to stay in contact with these spouses. And I found this little program online, and it was called Shoot Talk Radio. And it was a little online radio platform. And so I started using that to connect with the spouses and give them updates on what was going on in our community. And it just kind of grew from there. And I went from Shoe Talk Radio over to Blog Talk Radio, and then started a show just for all military spouses. And then that kind of changed when Ken was wounded in war in 2006. Wait, did I say he deployed in
2006?
Yeah, he deployed in 2006. Yeah. He was injured in 2007. And so in 2006, when he was deployed, I started talking about that on the talk show. And then I had to have a little break in between because he did get wounded in 2007, and things were really hectic for about 3 years. And so I didn't podcast as much or use Blog Talk Radio as much, but I was still on it. So long story short, it just kept snowballing and growing. And I decided to open up my own show because I was podcasting for nonprofits before. I had started a couple of different nonprofits for military veterans and worked with different nonprofits on the talk show. So in 2019 is when I started my own show and decided to open it up to people of all walks of life, because it's not just the military who has different obstacles to overcome, but I was realizing like these civilians were learning from these shows. And so I just started putting it all together. And now I interview all people that have had different trials in their lives and overcome some amazing things.
Yeah, that's incredible. It sounds like you really learned along the way, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and you just evolved. There wasn't really, 2006 or 2007 when you started the podcast, it's your original podcast, there wasn't a roadmap. Nobody was teaching it, right?
Right.
Maybe there was like a book or two about it, maybe about like, hey, there's this cool new thing that's going to happen. And nobody was really looking at it, except for people like you, which is so cool. You've clearly been such a positive influence for people who are going through adversity in their personal lives. And we also go through adversity with our businesses, right? What is something that you've recently had to figure out and overcome in your business? And how has that helped you move the needle for you, for sales or for growth in your business?
Yeah. So I think the biggest challenge that I had was when I was podcasting in the military community, strictly for military veterans, and connecting the civilians to the military veterans and vice versa, I always felt like I was promoting them all the time, which is what I loved because I like helping other people. So when the table started turning around 2019, I had somebody tell me, he said, you need to start promoting yourself because that's really important when it comes to podcasting. Like you have to put yourself out there. You have to put more photos of yourself out there. You need to make some videos. You need to do this. You need to do that. And for me, it was really hard because I get nervous promoting myself. Like it's not a natural feeling for me to say, hey, everybody, you need to go check out my show.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, get the tagline, the script and go through it. And yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. And so I kind of like, I didn't want my audience or anybody to think that I was self-absorbed, I guess. And so I had it in my head that, hey, you know, you're self-absorbed if you talk about yourself and what you're doing, but I have this really cool mentor, Mike Young. Andrew and I were just on his show recently. Yeah,
very cool guy. Yep.
Yeah. He's helped me so much get over that because he said to me one time and during one of our mentorship sessions, he said, what is your hang up? Like, what do you feel like you need help working on the most and why? And so I told him, you know, self-promotion was really a hard thing for me. And he said, well, that's kind of selfish, don't you think? And I was like, what? I'm telling you, I feel like it's selfish for putting myself out there.
Yeah, sounds like the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. But he explained to me that, you know, the people that I'm helping, there more people will hear about it if I do put myself out there. And if I'm able to be very authentic with my audience and just like share my life with them versus if I don't. So that was a big turning point for me to understand. And then the other thing was really my entire life, I've been wrapped up into many, many fundraisers, many nonprofits. And I always felt like I needed to give to these nonprofits. And when I was talking to Mike, he says, you know, the more successful that your business is, the more money you're going to bring in and the more you can give out to individuals that you want to help. And you don't even necessarily have to go through nonprofits, like just go help whoever you want. Cause you have all this extra money floating around. Right?
Yeah. It's a nice problem to have. Yeah.
Yeah. So that changed my mindset too. So those two things, volunteering versus being a business owner and bringing in some money. So I have more money to put out and then promoting myself.
Yeah. That's huge. I think understanding your worth too. I think, cause I heard it a lot, even when you were talking, about, you know, being in school and just being, you know, you had a lot of friends, but you were just not more important than anybody else, you know, but again, that's something to where it's like, you know, when you look at it from that vantage point, right. I can tell what separates you from a lot of people that I know is just from hearing your story and hearing what you've been involved in with and seeing what you're doing. All you do is care about other people, right? All you do is care about adding value to other people. That's why now you haven't really niched down anymore. It's not just basically solely military. It's basically figuring out how you can add value to anybody now, right? Like I want you on my show there has to be some qualifying points, right? They have to be one worth your time. But like at the end of the day, you've done so much for everybody else. And so I think Mike's, you know, dead on with his, hey, don't you think it's selfish of you not thinking that you're different than everybody else, right? Like you are, you have a heart of gold. And I can tell that just from meeting you and hanging out with you. You know, I can tell from the relationship that you've had with Adam and what y'all have done with the Decision Hour, you know, back when. I don't know if what y'all do with that now. I just know that when I initially met you, you know, I didn't really know much about you, but you can tell that just from my initial meeting with you, and just seeing how you interact with other people and meeting your husband, y'all are just good people, right? Like you're the people that you, like you're the friends that other friends talk about being people that have your back or people that actually care, you know, not people that are talking shit behind your back. I mean, you can tell that you really care and that you add value. And so I really think that's what you need to actually see in yourself, because self-promotion, some people have an ego, right? And some people like, look at me, look at what I'm like, the blue falcon, right? Like raising my hand, like trying to shift through all the shit and the clutter and be like, look, hey, I'm over here, but you're not, it's not you, right? But you do have that separator to where you can add value, and you do have your separation from other people, because not everybody cares like you care. I'm telling you that. I'll promise you that. I mean,
no, I honestly do know that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many people that, but that's what, if you know that, mm-hmm. you just like self-promotion is where it's at, because
yeah,
you have this aura around you, like you shine, right? Like it's one of those things when you can tell somebody's authentic, right? And I'm not that kind of person that sees colors and all that stuff and say, oh my gosh, you're orange or you're purple but like seriously, certain people glow to me and you're one of them. And so just know that. It doesn't go unseen. So I don't know if you're ever being, you know, somebody thanks you or whatever they do, but I mean, just know that what you do, it doesn't go unnoticed.
Thank you. You know, I have learned a lesson too that might resonate with your listeners. There have been people that I met way back in 2005, 2006, and I kind of lost contact with them, or you don't hear from them anymore. And all of a sudden somebody will pop up on Facebook or something and they'll write and they'll say something like, oh, do you remember that one time you were speaking in 2010 and you were here and like you said something and it changed my life. Like, wow, you don't know.
That's incredible.
Yeah. You really don't know the impact that you could have on people. So like back then was one of my hardest, like it was a hard time in our lives. Like I had been homeschooling our kids because Ken was wounded and all this stuff was going on, and taking him to doctor's appointments and trying to be on the talk show. And I thought, is this actually really making a difference? Cause you know, sometimes it'll be kind of quiet. And then all of a sudden, all these years later, you have people writing and they're like, whoa, you changed my life. And I'm like, wow, that's cool.
That's incredible. And that's where it's almost selfish to keep that from people, you know, because they need that. People need that. They need that guidance. Just like if you look at the people who you're looking for help from, like Mike Young, you know, if he wasn't confident in what he can do and help you with and promote himself, you may have never connected with him. And then you may have missed out on that opportunity for him to be able to help you. So it goes the same way, you know, with you is you, I think you have to have, it's not good to be cocky, I don't think. And there's a huge difference between cockiness and confidence, but being, you know, be confident in, it's good for all of us to be confident with what we bring to the table and, you know, how we can help people and that value, because they, you know, people are, they need help, you know, they need help with whatever it is that they're trying to do, whether it's marketing or product development, or they need, you know, they're going through a really rough patch and they need somebody like you to really lift them up. I mean, that can be any one of those things can be totally life-changing. So it's so important to know that and know that, you got to keep pushing through. And like you said, there are so many kind of quiet times. And that's entrepreneurship. When you said that, I thought, oh, it's got to be part of the definition of entrepreneurship. There's just these quiet times where you feel like nothing's happening. You're not making a difference. You're not connecting, but then you keep doing it. And then somebody pops up and they say, oh, that thing that you did, you know, 5 months ago, that really impacted the way that I see business or life or whatever. And like, that makes it all worth it.
Sure. Yeah. You know, 1 week I thought I would just skip a show and I had a few different people reaching out like, is it broken? Like something's not working.
WTF. Come on.
Like, no, just one show. I got to take a break. Yeah. No, that's cool. It's just important to show up and, you know, as much as possible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
It's true. It's really true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so many times where me and Andrew, I mean, the good thing and the benefit between me and him doing this is like, if for some reason we have something going on, one of us can just roll with it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
And so that is a huge benefit to having a two-person show, but also there's been a lot of times where we're both like, don't even feel it. Don't even want to record, not excited, but we just keep going on and, you know, we're over hundreds of episodes later, 100 episodes later, or whatever we're on right now, like 104, 103, whatever it is. This is like, we made that happen by continuing to show up every day. And a lot of people throw in the towel early, and you don't want that. You just got to keep moving. The same thing with entrepreneurship in general. It's just like, you got to keep it going. You got to know that you're spending time adding value to somebody's life, and eventually somebody's going to hear it. And eventually somebody, like you said, will follow up with you and say, hey, and maybe in a time, like you said, when you were struggling, it wasn't probably the peak of your entrepreneurial journey, but they still heard you and they still are saying, hey, you made an impact on my life. And that is huge. And I'm sure that made you feel good inside and validate, and to validate to any other listeners out there, that just because you're not seeing the results right now doesn't mean you're not going to see them later. So just mm-hmm. You got to keep plugging along.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, I remember one time I recorded this episode and I was really struggling that week. One of my friends had just died and it was just like a really, really, really rough week. And I thought about taking that week off, but I went ahead and I did it anyways. And I talked about what happened because it was a veteran that I knew who had overdosed. And so I talked a lot about it. Well, long story short, the next week, Arlie Emery had heard about my show and I asked him to be on it. And so he came on my show because I put myself out there and I was really vulnerable. And it showed that, I mean, I'm human and it's important to be authentic on our shows, I think. And I think that that's what you guys are doing too. And it goes to show you that even when you're kind of feeling weak, you can still give a lot of input that's going to help other people, because there's a lot of other people probably going through some of those same challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it keeps it real, and vulnerability is huge. I mean, a lot of people can relate to that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people can either say, oh man, I'm going through the same thing. And then it makes you just more popular to them in their eyes, because again, you're not everybody can come out and put their heart out in front of everybody or talk about or just, like you said, they'll just skip whatever they plan on doing, or I'm not going to do that today because life is happening, right? Death is life. Like, just, there's always going to be a curveball along your journey in whatever you do. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. You can just be somebody living life. Life's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. But it's important to not let life really always dictate how you react, right? Because we can control how we react to situations. And I think really when something happens, you always got to sit back and say, hey, if I can do this right now, is this going to actually help? Because I think, one, it can be good therapy for you or an individual that is going through something at that time. And then two, to like actually just get it out. Because most of the time, human beings, we internalize a lot of things and we don't let it out. Mm-hmm. And then it gets boxed up. And then one day that box is just going to pop open, right? Or we're going to explode and it's going to be terrible. To where when you could have got it off your chest or said that thing or recorded a podcast and tell everybody how you're feeling right now. I mean, that vulnerability and showing your true self. I mean, dude, so many people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And again, that's another separating factor, because I think, again, we don't do that a lot just as individuals. We try to internalize everything and say, okay, we can handle this. I can handle that. And I do that. I'm terrible at that. Right. And then it does explode. And you want to limit the explosions for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, while I have you guys here, I'll tell you something I've been working on behind the scenes to kind of help me with all this stuff.
Yeah.
When Ken was deployed, I found out about something called guided meditation. And at first I thought it was going to be like really hokey. but I tried it and it actually worked for me, because I had like all these different thoughts, like, you know, just so much going on. And so when I listened to this guided meditation, it just helped me enough to relax, to go to sleep. And then I played it for my kids. And I don't know if they were either so bored it worked for them, or because the actual guided meditation worked for them. Either way, they fell asleep and it was great.
Nice. That's awesome. However it works.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So, finally, like this year, all these years later, I thought, what were some of the key things in my life that's helped me, and how can I implement them to help other people? And the only thing that I could think of that I had not tried yet was doing a guided meditation myself, like recording the guided meditation, having it mixed with music. So I started doing some studying and found out that there's actually different beats that can be put into music as it's composed to help your brain relax and to help you drift off to sleep easier. And so I thought that was really cool. So I started contacting some people to see if I could find a composer or somebody who could make some music, and then maybe I could record my voice and you know, to do some guided meditation. So I did find a composer and we created 7 songs together, all with these different beats that are going to be put into the music, or that are in the music. Actually, the music's done now.
That's so cool.
It is super cool. Like there's delta waves and there's theta waves and all these different things that you can do with the music. And then I wrote out the scripts. Those are also complete. And I'm going to be in a recording studio next week recording some guided meditations. So those are going to be coming out in September.
That's awesome. That's so cool. So we can have Patty put us to sleep.
Yes. So you wake up with Patty and you can go to sleep with Patty.
Yeah. That's awesome though. Hey, wake up. And then she can put you to sleep. You know, Ken.
It was full circle.
Patty's awesome. And her voice, like, you do have that perfect voice, I think. And when you started talking about that, I was like, man, I'm listening to you talk. And I'm like, I can do
definitely
that.
See
like,
that,
you
yeah.
know, there's some people that I've heard even like when you get like an ebook or one of those audio recordings of it. And you're just like, dude, why is this person recording their voice? Like, why are they the one reading the book to me?
Yeah,
I got to turn it off right now. But you have that voice to where I can see you doing a guided meditation. That is on point. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's funny because my own voice used to kind of irritate me before. I thought it sounded like a little too high or a little of this, you know, and, somebody actually mentioned to me like, hey, your voice is so relaxing. And I was like, you're kind of weird.
And then here you are recording, you know, guided meditations now.
Yeah. You got to reach out to her, him or her, or whoever. That's let awesome. Know what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to definitely.
That's so cool. I mean, and that's something pretty simple that people can do that can actually, you know, help put them in a good mindset. Going to sleep with the right mindset is, I think, really important.
Sure.
It's easy to just throw on Netflix and watch an episode of something, which can be good. And, you know, if it's something funny, maybe. But I think the less screen time, the better.
Yeah.
So if you can do something to kind of help you fall asleep and get you in a good mindset, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The one album is all sleep and the other one is actually going to be goal setting, self-confidence and self-love. So.
Oh, that's what's up. So I can feel, I mean, that right there is like, it's all wrapped up in a perfect package right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if me and Andrew try to do something that it wouldn't fly, right? Like our voices, like you can probably talk to us on a podcast, but we're not putting you to sleep or we're not going to be able to, maybe some motivational stuff. I can get a deep growl going on, but you know, might want to go work out after I get done.
I can hear you now, Clint. Just go to sleep.
Exactly.
You guys. Yeah,
now.
Or we'll do like a heavy metal version to wake up to or something.
There you go.
We can collaborate on that.
We can do something. Yeah.
Wake up with Patty, Clint, and Andrew. Just heavy.
That'll be fun.
Get people fired up.
That'll be fun.
So Patty, your podcast, Wake Up with Patty Catter, literally influences millions of people. And so there's a lot I think we can all learn from growing a super successful podcast over a short period of time as well, right? Like me and Andrew are doing our thing with our podcast, but I don't know if we've really designated, you know, or even have a vision of the growth that we can possibly achieve with this thing. We have ideas in our head, but we're really not implementing things. But what do you think are the most important things you've done to grow your podcast to the level it is now, that somebody that has a podcast now or will decide to do a podcast in the future can really benefit from?
So to be really completely honest, when I was doing Voice of Warriors Talk Radio, I thought that was super cool because I would have 100,000 listeners a year.
Yeah.
And
that's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, this is awesome. But I never really paid attention to the numbers too much. So I started this podcast. Like I said, it was the end of 2019 and my goal was to get about 100,000 listeners. And I remember, just kind of going through the phases of, first of all, to have a successful podcast, I did the research and you have to have some consistency. So your listeners have to know like when your new shows are coming out. And if you have one show 1 week and then you don't have another one for 3 weeks and then you pop another one in a week later, and I mean, you're just so inconsistent that people are not going to follow you as much because they're going to think you're wishy-washy, right? So One is I discovered that you need to be consistent with your shows. The other thing for me that I personally do is I try to keep my shows between 20, 30 minutes or so, try to keep it the length of a normal commute to work so that people can listen to you on the way to work or on the way home, or if they're cooking dinner. If you have a 20-hour podcast, it might work for some, but not for me either, because I do have to abide by my own schedule and do, you know, I have my own life going on too. So I didn't really pay attention to the numbers too much, especially my first year, because I was like, okay, I just need to focus on the foundation of my business. So I need to focus on the consistency, getting guests, finding somebody to edit my shows, because I'm really bad at that part. And I found a really great team that I work with. They put my show together for me as far as the editing of the video, the audio, the everything, the avatars, the audiograms, the graphics, everything. So that helped me. So investing a little bit into that gave me a lot more time to work on everything I really needed to get done. So it was probably a few months into the show that I finally was like, I'm going to check my numbers out, see where I'm at. And I was like, what? This is wrong. Like, this is probably wrong because there's a lot more listeners than I anticipated. I don't do a whole bunch on social media, and I don't hire a company to run my social media. So I don't have like a huge following on social media that I could see, you know? And I wasn't paying attention to subscribers and reviews and all that stuff, because I was just focused on making a good show. So, it was about a year ago, a friend introduced me to somebody who has radio stations, and they're like, hey, we want you on our network, come to us. So I started putting the show on, AM FM stations, which is now 17 of them. And all of that kind of combined, started reaching a lot more people. And honestly, for me, like I said, it might not be a great entrepreneur tactic, but I didn't focus on the numbers. I focused on the quality, and with the quality, the numbers followed.
Yeah. I think that's a great strategy. You put product first and made sure that it was the best it could possibly be. And if it's an amazing, amazing product, then people are going to, especially for something like a podcast where people are naturally sharing it. Yeah, I think that's a great strategy. That's the first thing you really want to focus on, I think, is just putting really great content out there. I know Clint and I talk about it all the time. Like, we want to share people's entrepreneurial stories and journeys, but we also want to give our audience strategic advice. Like, they want to know how can they start a business? How can they grow their business? And they just want, like, they probably just want nuggets, you know, relatively efficient nuggets of information. So we're always talking about, how can we deliver that the best? Is that actually what people want? Do they want something a little bit different? Do they want more inspirational and more strategic? You know, so that can be tough, but it sounds like you hit a main vein and really, like, you know, tapped into something that people were really wanting. And then it's cool, because once you see that, then you're like, oh wow, I'm on the right track here. And then you can really dial in and focus and not worry about, oh, am I going to hit my numbers next month? You know that you've got something that people are going to love, that they're going to share, because it's clearly your growth mechanism is just putting out such good content that people naturally want to share it. So that's the best way. That's the most effective, cost efficient way to grow possible. So that's amazing that you're doing that.
Yeah. I'm really, really careful of the guests I have on my show too. So anybody can tell you this sweet, sugary story about themselves, but I do some research into my guests. I make sure that they're, you know, they're really good quality people, and they're, you know, they're kind and caring. One of my more recent guests, he has an amazing story. He's a billionaire and his heart is amazing. And that's why I wanted him on my show, is his heart. He sold like a $55 billion million dollar ticket to outer space. And he's just like, you know, who else can I help? We're starting this nonprofit. We're doing this. We're, you know, helping all these people. So those people are the backbone, I guess, of my podcast, because my listeners want authentic stories, especially in today's media where everything is so harsh and people are tearing others apart. And like, it's a little paradise. It's a little haven.
Yeah. That's so incredible. And yeah, people want those stories and they want to hear from somebody like you. So that's so cool.
Thank you.
So Patty, through your entrepreneurial journey, from the highs to the lows, and everything in between, what's been the hardest thing about entrepreneurship for you? Maybe it's something that we already discussed, but what has been the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur for you?
Yeah, I think from a financial standpoint, it was during the time where my husband was wounded and I was in my 30s. And I just remember thinking like, am I going to have to take care of him the rest of my life? And how am I going to have a schedule that can cater to him and to me and to my kids? And I'm homeschooling and I'm this and I'm that, you know? And then my mom had cancer. My dad wasn't super healthy all the time either. And so I had like all this stuff going on. And I just remember thinking like, maybe I should just stick to like a 9-to-5. But then if you do that, like they're not flexible. So you can't work a flexible job doing that. I needed something that would cater to my needs. And it took a while for me to see that I could make a living off of podcasting and being a public speaker, because before I was doing it basically for free. I was like, here, take me, I'll help you, you know? But I had to learn to kind of turn that around. And so now I have a career where I am very mobile. I can go where I want. I can take my setup with me if I need to, if we need to go somewhere. I schedule my guests at certain times. So financially, I would say that it was definitely a challenging time to figure out what I could do financially for our family with all of the stuff going on. And then I think the second thing that happened was over the years, there were several times that I had to go through all these different crazy trials, like friends who ended up being suicidal because they were combat veterans and they weren't dealing very well in life after combat, and you're trying to help them. Or Ken has had so many things going on with his health and multiple surgeries. And so, you know, I want to help him. And then I just always have a heart to help everyone else. And my mom died in 2015 of cancer. 7 months later, my dad ended up taking his life. And it's not just the actual business part of things that entrepreneurs are always labeled for. You know, you always think of, oh, your business finances, your business partners, everything business. But people tend to forget you have a family life going on too, and you have friends. And so it's meshing all of those things together to work together and to work through.
Mm-hmm. I think especially as an entrepreneur, because there really is much more of like a melding of personal and business than if you have a lot of times, if you have a 9-to-5, depending on what you do, you kind of, you know, you leave your house, you leave your, I think people feel like they leave their personal life behind from 9-to-5 or whatever it is. And then their business, you know, they're in the business part of it. And then they go back home and it's back to personal. And they're not mixing business and personal. But as an entrepreneur, especially like if you work from home, I mean, I think we all work from home, and which is great. It's super flexible for us, but there's this, you know, we're taking care of personal things, you know, in the middle of doing business and all, you know, there's so much more flexibility, but it can be difficult to juggle and balance all those different things, you know, but I think at the end of the day, I feel like it's healthier because you really, once you get comfortable with that balance, it becomes your business becomes more life, like in a positive way, you know? And so you're just living and earning and all this stuff sort of at the same time, instead of having these dips of like, can't wait for the weekend. You know, you just live from Saturday to Sunday. And then you're like, then you feel like a different person from Monday to Friday. I hate that. Mm-hmm. I want to be the same person as much as possible, 24/7, every day of the week.
Yes, I agree. Yep.
So Patty, I believe we can talk to you all day, But as we wrap up this episode, if you could leave our listeners one piece of advice, I mean, it could be a few, if you can't break it down to one, what would it be?
I think that the biggest piece of advice is if you have a passion to do something, make it work and turn it into a business. I was just talking to this guy who's cleaning my pool yesterday, and he probably makes like $12 an hour. And he's getting ready to move to another state. And he said, I think I might want to really start a business. What advice do you have? And I said, make sure you're passionate about it, because you have to put your soul into it, and you should do something that you really enjoy. So that's my advice.
And just dive in. I mean, no pun intended with
make
the,
it happen.
Since he cleans pools, but you know, you really do have to dive in and commit.
Take the
yes,
risk.
You do. Cannonball right in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, guys, I think that's a wrap for this episode. But from the both of us, Patty, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day and joining us and adding value to what we're doing on our podcast.
Thank you. You guys are amazing.
Thanks, Patty. Yeah, it's been really great to talk with you today. Thank you all so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Patty is working on, check out pattycatter.com. And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe to our podcast. And don't forget to download our free ebook about the success mindset at thatentrepreneurlife.com.
Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.